I've forgotten what I've got to say now. I'm Jackie, the bar manager, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 28 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. As ever, I'm joined by Cookie.
Hello.
And Matt.
Hello everyone.
We've got a pretty busy episode coming up, guys. What have we got on this week's show?
Yeah, we're going to review the match last Saturday against Hartlepool.
We're going to catch up with some big news regarding Frankie Raymond.
We're obviously going to have a little chat about Lone Watch with a fantastic goal from Aiden Enver.
We've had somebody come and use our pitch this week for a game, and we're going to catch up about that.
We also catch up with George Poulter.
We're going to look ahead to the game against Boreham Wood.
And obviously the game, how many you reckon?
And we're also going to look ahead to next Tuesday's visit to Hartlepool. Not to Hartlepool, to Harrogate. We've already been there, haven't we?
Begins with a H.
It's a Friday, you know.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, guys. So, yeah, like you said, we're going to start with, obviously, what are we going to start with?
Hartlepool.
Oh, Hartlepool, sorry. Yeah, of course. How can we forget? I mean, obviously, you guys headed up on the, was it on the train on the day?
Yeah, so the way we'd done it, I don't think we really covered it in commentary like we normally do, but we travelled up by train with the LNER up to Darlington
Station.
That's
usually the bit everyone tunes in for.
Yeah. We got a coach from Darlington to Hartlepool. Nice, easy journey. Arrived there in plenty of time. And the team, obviously, all the way up from the station, all the way up, just in fantastic spirit. And you just felt this air of confidence around them, didn't we, Matt?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was fantastic weather as well. Fantastic ground. It's my first time being there, and I absolutely loved it.
How did
game as well?
Sorry, Matt. How did Brad, our new kit man, do? Because I know he keeps on wanting to mention on the podcast, and I don't really know how to bring it up. But obviously, we were in standard class and train up there. Obviously, logistical issues with Charles getting all the kit on board, or
no? I think we all still contribute to helping with the kit, getting it on board. But obviously, he then takes his duties of being out on the pitch before the game for the warm up and collecting certain bits. But I think we got everything back, so yeah, pretty successful overall.
Pretty flustered the first game, so I just wanted to double check, see how he's getting on.
Yeah,
obviously, with regards to the actual game itself, I mean, you could have asked for a better start, really.
Well, you got a better result. Yeah, well, we did. But the first couple of minutes, they had a fantastic chance, didn't they, really, to put them up. So, just got Jackie coming in.
And Gareth.
Yeah, they could have been 1-0 up.
Oh, yeah, big thank you to Jackie for our podcast intro.
Arms aloft over there.
Not saying we're running low after episode 28 episodes, but we're struggling a bit. Next week we got Gareth.
Good luck getting anything out of him.
It was they could have gone 1-0 up in the first 3 minutes. Just had a shot, just went wide. Gregory saw it out, but then it really changed the game. We started to attack a bit more and look going forward with more and more confidence. And then Mark Anthony's goal, a George Porter throw, took a deflection, and Mark Anthony was there with space and allowing a player like Mark Anthony space. He just put it in the back of the net, and the keeper didn't look like he was getting to it, did he, Matt?
No, it was a really good finish. I think you watch it and you think, wow, is he actually a defender? Because that was a real striker's finish, wasn't it? He just watched it drop in front of him, absolutely leathered it into the net across the face of the goal, which was a really nice finish and very well deserved for him. He's been a very consistent performer in recent weeks, and again, another faultless effort from him on Saturday.
Well, we talk about the second goal that's been doing the rounds on social media this week, and that's the power of the internet being seen to justify it. You're watching it live, and you just instantly want to see it. And
it's still going around loads of other social media platforms.
Mundial
stuff,
and
everything
I think I've done it, but
I miss a game, so I was tuning in. I couldn't tune into the commentary. I was away. Monica's family, mother's birthday, everything. Obviously, I wanted to be there and not the game. But obviously I couldn't, we were having dinner and everything, so I was trying to look at my phone and look at the Twitter scores and everything like that. And then when Coulson's goal went in, I can't remember whoever was doing a tweet. Was it you, Matt? Mm. Were you doing a tweet? Yeah. What was it? What did you? What was your tweet?
Oh my goodness!
I've just seen.
Yeah,
oh my giddy aunt. Yeah,
that one out. Yeah. So I think we have ourselves a goal of the season.
And you're not one. You're not one to overreact and stuff like that. So I thought, what on earth have I missed? And obviously, I think Ronan was videoing it, and he's WhatsApped it to you, and you managed to WhatsApp it to me. So I'm over and out in Italy, and I'm getting a WhatsApp, and the second I was still going on, I'm getting this. The video come through, of course, it's goal. I'm showing everybody around the table. I couldn't carry on pretending that I was not, following the game.
Ronan does the filming for the coding and the obviously for the team to come review
stuff,
it. It's straight away on the coach back, coaching train back even as soon as that. But straight away at half time, we got the footage and obviously sent it over to Jeff to have a look at, and obviously Jerry and a few other people saw it. But
talking about that, we're talking about how the game went and everything. I forgot you guys actually commentated, so we should probably insert your guys' summary of the action now.
I think you can also hear Matt, just going back to it, you can actually hear Matt on the BT commentary.
Yeah, you can. I've heard myself on that. A few people have pointed that out to me. Apparently, I sound like an old man, so...
Well, here we go. Let's find out.
Man is going to give him an extra little lift. We'll see.
Taken.
Certainly a long one. Flicked. And it's
Mark Anthony. Yes, it's in!
Oh, and it's
brilliant.
What a
fantastic,
what a fantastic finish.
Back in the net. The long ball's coming from George Poulter. And Mark Anthony's managed to get the deflection. And he's just put it in the back of the net.
Early on.
Gregory doing his famous kicking questionably out the area.
And he's...
Oh, Luke Coulson's there.
What a goal
by Luke Coulson.
Oh my goodness. And that is getting applause from the Hartlepool fans, Cookie.
Unbelievable goal.
Oh my goodness, it's like Cantona in his prime.
And that one going to him. Frankie Ram could have held it up, passed it around.
Yeah, perhaps again that bit of decision making.
I know it's 2-0, but they get a goal. They've got every chance to get.
Complacency is a killer, isn't it? As we saw Maidenhead away earlier this season, 2-0 down.
Get a goal. Completely locked everyone, 25 yards out.
Gregory didn't even move.
You've got 3 minutes to play. And he's got a bit by standing off. What are we doing?
What are you doing, Cookie? What are you doing?
Yeah. It was a commentator's curse for that one, wasn't it? The consolation goal, I can't even remember when we was just discussing about it's possible. But for a moment, the last 5 minutes of the game, we sat quite deep, didn't we? And they was prone to an attack, and they looked like they was gonna nick us a second goal.
I can't believe you started with justifying your comments for the last bit of that comment and not actually Luke Coulson's fantastic one to strike. The best thing was when you described Mark Anthony's volley as a deflection. Yeah. That was brilliant.
Now, what I meant is when the ball got thrown, he's just trying to talk in the moment, and I can barely string a sentence together as in real life to be honest in the moment. But it come off the, obviously George Port's thrown in, they've tried to clear it, it's gone to Mark Anthony, he's put it in the back of the net. That's what I meant. But I think with the second goal, obviously Luke Coulson's goal was just Dennis Bergkamp-esque, wasn't it?
Oh, I haven't seen anything like it live before. It was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And you know, to actually witness that live, you know, it's one of those I can say that I've been there moments.
That's it.
And it was honestly
not rubbing with Jeff.
The technique, the finish was just absolutely phenomenal. And none more deserving than Luke Coulson, who's been an outstanding performer for us recently.
That's it. But like I said, they did get a consolation goal. The last 5 minutes, they was trying to.
Sorry, we're just feeding the cat while doing a podcast at the same time.
It's all professional here. The consolation goal that they picked up at the end. We sat quite deep for the last 5 minutes, but it wasn't a good. What do you say with it? It was
nothing. Don't matter, mate. We've got to talk about the two goals we did. Obviously, Mark Anthony.
It was a lucky goal.
Half volley. What's that? There you go. Mark Anthony's half volley, absolutely dispatched.
So much confidence.
And Coulson's goal still going around the internet, and it's absolutely amazing. Every morning you wake up, there's another Twitter and everything like that. Oh, sorry, Jack. What's he having? Is he having dry food?
I think he's having some go-kart with a bit of whiskers.
And whiskers, isn't he?
Yes.
Turkey and liver?
Good. He's got...
No problem.
We should do Gareth Watch on the podcast. Oh, we're actually...
Cod and salmon.
Oh, we're actually going to...
Thank you for that.
...discuss this in depth.
Yeah, beautiful.
What's the protein levels in that, Jack?
Obviously, back to the football. A fantastic win. It must have been a obviously, it must have been a good journey back for the boys.
It was lively, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was yeah.
Fantastic atmosphere before going up with the confidence and coming back down, just
a lot of singing.
Let your hair down. And I even
a lot of singing.
A lot of attempted singing, I should say. It wasn't very good.
The players like to go down and after the game they celebrate and they'll have a beer each. And Mark Anthony had a small bottle of red wine and I shared his bottle of red wine with him. which was quite nice. All the players have got a lot of beer and they're having beer. Mark Anthony's got a little bottle of wine. He goes, "Cookie, do you want a bit?" Oh yeah, Mark. And sat next to Ronan and Mark Anthony on the train coming back, which was nice.
Talk about celebrating and being happy. There's obviously more good news to celebrate early on in this week. Obviously, Frankie Raymond.
Consistent performer, I think, is the key word to describe him. He's been here now. This is his well into his second season, and he's just a player that you look at, and there's very, very few games where you can look at him and say that he hasn't put in a shift or he hasn't had a good game. He's honestly the most consistent player, and what an ability he's got to pass the ball, to put in those set pieces that we see week in, week out. And you just wonder how he keeps on doing it every week.
So obviously the news is he signed a new deal.
Yeah, delighted.
Which is fantastic. You talk about this group of players and what they've achieved most recently, and I can't remember who said it. I think I said it in a previous podcast, but I can't remember the actual date where this whole group of players have been together. It feels like it's been for a long time, but actually it's probably what, just the other side of Christmas or before, yeah, I think, in terms, yeah, of the actual core group of players that are actually now here. And obviously the most important thing, I guess, is just retain as much of that for next season. Look, we're still hell of a lot of games to go this year. What are we at the moment? Eight, nine points from playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, we've come right back into it. When we was in the pits of sort of like looking at the bottom four, and then all of a sudden we surged up the table since Christmas.
What is it, 10 games left?
I think it is.
30 points, we've got a 9-point gap to overhaul.
No, actually, it might be less.
But there's no reason why they can't continue.
Do our research before we go live on this sort of thing.
Live in the moment.
But whatever happens at the end, to be able to retain, you know, the core group of your squad for next year.
12.
You know, it's 12 games to go. Yes. So what's it, 36 points. How many? And we've got a 9-point gap.
Yeah, we're 9 points off the playoffs at the minute. But there are two sides that are actually just beneath the playoffs, Gateshead and Sutton, who are on the same points as Harrogate, who are in the playoffs on 7th. So it's really, really tight there at the minute.
You're right there.
I thought you were going to say when you got the mic back.
No, absolutely incredible. Whatever gets achieved this season is going to be fantastic. And I mean, look, you've got to say the 12 games ago, great, you know, good position. Run. But again, retaining that quality for next year and making sure you've got that core group of players. You look at the amount of players that are already there. I guess, yeah, Sam Wood, Jack Conley, etc. To be able to add Frankie Raymond to that is absolutely fantastic.
But you look at the team that was at the start of the season. There's been some comings and goings, but you imagine that, like you said, the team just for Christmas. If you would have that, and that would have been the start of the season.
It's just before Christmas, isn't it? When the majority of this core group of players have been together.
It was mid to late December. So obviously you had the likes of JJ Hooper, Luke Coulson, and Savon Hines coming in.
You know,
it's been incredible, hasn't it? And you look at the stats and the amount of goals scored. Even, you know, early we were looking back at the season that we've had, and defensively at the start of the season we were conceding a lot of goals, and that has really, really gone down. We haven't really made any changes defensively to the squad, but what we have got is that consistency in midfield and up front, which helps ease the pressure on the defence as well. And it's just been, honestly, quite an adventure since those players have come in.
Obviously previously that has been a lot of ups and downs, a lot of results, etc. The FA Trophy, you know, disaster at the end of the day, and everything like that. Like you said, Christmas, all of a sudden we had a balanced setup, everybody there, everybody done, and the energy at the moment within that camp is absolutely incredible. Today training, I know Jerry and Robin were out, the directors were out watching it. You know, it's incredible the level at the moment. When it's intensity, whatever it is, it's absolutely, you know, it's, you can hear, we're in this, you know, porter cabin, you know, and we've got one window, we can see the sort of pitch, but you can hear it, you can feel it, you know, they're clearly in a great place at the moment. And obviously, going back to the original point, obviously, Frankie Raymond, new deal, new contract. He's going to be with us for next season, which is absolutely fantastic. And Matt, I think you managed to catch up with him.
Frankie, slightly different type of interview today. Congratulations is in order to you. You've just signed a new contract with the football club. How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted about it, to get the contract done. I've been speaking to the gaffer and the staff over the last week or so. Yeah, and I'm buzzing to get over the line.
And obviously, this is your second year here now. How's it been so far?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. I think obviously that you can see in the whole club the direction the club's going off of the pitch and on the pitch. And I think as a player, you want to be part of a team which is going in that direction. And hopefully, that individually and as a team, this year we could try and take it as far as possible, and then next year we can push on again.
And as you touched on there's a lot involved with this club, not just on the pitch, off it as well. It's a very ambitious club. Has that played a part in your decision?
Definitely. It's my local team for one, and for two, the last 2 years, even though I haven't been here as long as some of the other players, I can still see the direction the club's going in, and it is a big team to be at, and it's a good team to be at the next few years.
And obviously you could look ahead now to next season as well, but still before the end of the season, plenty of important games coming up.
Definitely, yeah. I think the form we're in now, I think the way we're playing now, I think we fancy ourselves against anyone and we'll give anyone a go. So listen, we've got a tough push towards the end of the season. We've got some tough games coming up, but as long as we're playing the way we are, we'll give anyone a run for their money, and we'll see where that takes us at the end of the year.
Frankie, great to have you on board again. Thank and you. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot, man.
Always great to hear from Frankie there. Obviously, fantastic news, I think, for the club. I think it went really well with the fans on Twitter, social media, etc. I think that's a real sign of the club's intent of you know, our progression and what we're trying to achieve in moving forward. And you think whatever we're going to achieve, whether it's this season, next season, whatever, you have to say Frankie's going to be in that team that achieves it.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I'll agree with you, Jeff. But I think it's also stability. Several players or several teams, sorry, and I even think ourselves previously have gone to sign players late on, and people want news and we haven't been able to provide it. So to get these done early, like you said, shows intent that we're serious and we're looking to retain the top quality players of the team, making sure that
if we'd actually done a bit of research, we probably could provide a list of players that are actually already signed for next season. But I'm sure it's up about 7, 8, 9 potentially.
Yeah, it looks
now.
To be that, yeah.
Maybe we'll cover that in the next episode. Obviously, moving away from football briefly, Matt, we're going to touch on our community scheme as ever. We're always grateful to get an update on what we're doing out and about in the community. Saturday. Tomorrow even, we've got Boreham Wood. No doubt we've got some youth teams in the school of the day to talk about.
We do indeed. So a lot of preparation, a lot of hard work gone into this. Some listeners may remember Richard Brindley and I went to Bullerswood School for Boys a few weeks ago to do a Monday morning assembly and bring a little something different to it. And Richard was fantastic. But moving on from that, what's sort of stemmed from that is we're delighted to welcome Bullerswood School for Boys to the Boreham Wood game tomorrow is our school of the day. So the football team are going to be our flag bearers. They're going to meet a few of the players beforehand, have a Q&A session, which is going to be fantastic. And obviously we've invited the entire school and their families down, so we're hoping that they will come along and cheer on the team in that one, which will be really good.
That's it, and community spirit, Matt, with all the local schools. And talking to local schools this week, we've been pretty busy. St Mark's were down here today, wasn't they?
Yeah, another school we've got a fantastic relationship with, St Mark's, just down at Bromley South. And obviously popped in there a few weeks ago to do a few bits with the players.
Sorry,
and Neil
talk about
as well.
Bromley South, they've obviously got our poster up. Have you seen it in the old
the station,
ticket hall
yeah.
again?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when I go down there and I go and pick up my partner, the amount of people who have a stop and have a little look at that poster and see what it's kind of like, brilliant.
It's brilliant.
Sorry about that.
Yes, so we've had them down a few times to actually have matches here at Hayes Lane and give the children the chance to play football on the stadium pitch, which is absolutely brilliant, and you can just see how much they appreciate it. And early this afternoon we had St Mark's versus Raglan. I think it was an entertaining game. I watched the first half. Quite a lot of goals.
Oh, busy.
I missed the second half, just to put it out there, please. I missed the second half because I was so busy. So it was I could hear lots of cheers though, so obviously plenty going on.
But again, with St Mark's, that's a relationship that's grown over a number of years now. Obviously, I remember we were there opening their multi-sports pitch at the back, just by the railway line behind the school when they opened that. The players went down there. And I remember there was a video of Jack and the guys all playing five-a-side and everything. And it's great to see that relationship growing and continue to grow.
Definitely.
And like you say, obviously, head of PE, is it Lee?
Lee Hall, surname.
Mr. Hall.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Hall. Yeah, again, great surname.
So Mr. Hall interviewed Mr. Hall here. So we managed to catch up with Lee, who's the head of PE at St. Mark's School. And he obviously, I think he went on to sort of discuss the relationship and obviously the offence happened earlier today.
Lee Hall from St. Mark's School, welcome to the podcast. We've seen a growing relationship between the school and the club in recent times, and that kicked off with an event just before Christmas. Do you want to talk us through that?
Yeah, just before Christmas, we had four or five of the first team come in with the manager and had a bit of a kick around with some of our key stage one children. They also did an assembly and a bit of a giveaway with lots of free tickets to the games. It's been a really good relationship.
And it's quite unique, isn't it? You don't get many football clubs that have that closeness with schools around them.
No, not first teamers and things coming into a school. I imagine that rarely happens, especially around here anyway.
What does it mean to the children?
They love it, obviously. Even things like today, playing on the first team pitch, which you let us do for free, which is amazing. Playing on a first team pitch and meeting professional footballers is amazing.
And give some positive role models as well, I guess.
Yeah, of course. Especially some of the young boys that we have that maybe don't have people to look up to at home. It's an amazing thing to have to look up to.
We've seen your girls' football side doing very well as well, who are also set to play on the pitch soon. How are they getting along?
Our girls are very good. I think a few of them play for your girls as well. So yeah, our girls coming along really well.
And it's the third or fourth game I think you've had on this pitch, if I'm right. How did you get on today against Raglan?
I think it's our fourth game, I think. We won 5-2 today.
Oh, fantastic.
Which was a nice win. Very good.
And beat them last time as well, didn't you?
We did, but let's not mention that. Let's not rub it in.
A very competitive game. Good football. And Lee, thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thank you. Cheers.
Great to hear from Lee there. Mr. Hall. Obviously really pleased with our work and our relationship, which is always great to hear. Matt? Sounds like the community scheme's really sort of doing a fantastic job with a lot of our local primary schools now.
Absolutely, yeah. We're trying to get links with as many as we can, and particularly the ones that are around us, and we're really managing to do that. And it's rewarding to give something back and give people the opportunity to like you say, integrate with first team footballers.
It's brilliant. I must admit, the group of players say it every year, and it seems to get better every year. You ask them to do something, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. There's not a reason for them not to do it. There's not an excuse. There's not a something. This is all time they're giving their own time outside the football hours.
This is after training that as well. Like you've just said, after training, players will go, oh, I'll wait around. Like Mark Anthony last week. 2.5 hours he went around for the medals.
It is absolutely fantastic. Obviously, a brilliant job. A long way to continue. Obviously, moving back to the football now. A busy week ahead. Boreham Wood on Saturday. We then head up to Harrogate on the Tuesday night. Obviously, rearranged. Obviously, on the player front... Matt, you've managed to catch up with George Porter. Interesting character.
Yeah, very.
We all love George.
Fans favourite now.
Didn't a few years ago.
Yeah, opposite.
He appears to have something around his arm at the moment, Matt.
Yeah, he does. He has the captain's armband, obviously, given that Jack Holland's currently out with an unfortunate injury. George has been the man selected by Neil to take over for that time.
Fantastic. I think you've caught up with him regarding the recent results, and obviously the upcoming games.
George, so a fantastic result last week. Also, obviously, with Jack injured, you took the armband.
Yeah, great result last week. Obviously, Hartlepool going up all the way out there, and we got asked as a team to go and put our performances in like we've been doing at home, to go and do it away, and I thought we started well on the front foot. I thought we took the game to them on their home pitch. You know, they're mid-table, you know, but they had nothing to play for. And I thought we went out there and really showed them who was the team on the front foot. Jack's been injured. He's obviously cracked his rib for a few weeks. So I'm happy to take the armband from him for a few weeks. He'll be back soon, and I'll be the first person to give it back to him. He's the captain of this club, and that's how it's going to be, and I know that. And I just hope for him for a quick recovery.
And I have to touch on that goal from Luke Coulson. Was quite something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I was right behind it, so I see the ball over from Subs, and I was thinking in my head, like, take it on your chest or something. But no, the touch was brilliant. The first touch just set him away from the defender, and the finish was brilliant. And I think he got a round of applause from the home fans, which is always nice.
And rightly, it's going viral as well at the minute.
Yeah, I know. I've retweeted it, and I think a few other news outlets have got hold of it as well, and rightly so. It was a cracking goal.
There seems to be a real good feel factor in the camp at the minute. Everyone really seems to be enjoying their football.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, every session now we're coming in, we're doing our set plays, we're doing our passing, we're doing our positioning. We know what we're doing now. We're coming in every day. We're happy. We're winning. And it'd be good to get a another home win as well. We're back at Hayes Lane tomorrow, and it's something that we want to keep going here. We want good results at home and away, but mainly at home.
And touching on tomorrow, obviously never going to be an easy game, but they did beat us on their home turf earlier this season, so looking to avenge that result.
They beat us 2-1 at their place. I thought we started that game well the first half. I remember it quite well, and they brought the big two lads on up front and sort of changed the game for them. But No, they'll be coming here trying to look for a win. They're not on the best forms lately, but Bournemouth, they're a good team. You know, they showed that last year, and they don't just lose that overnight. So, it'll be a tough game. Hope for a good crowd, and hope we put on a good performance.
George, thank you, and best luck for the game.
Cheers, mate. Cheers.
Great to hear from George Porter there. Obviously a fan's favourite. Like you say, you can rewind to a certain period of time in our recent history where that wouldn't not necessarily have been the case. Leighton Orient and Welling Away appear to spring to mind. But anyway, genuinely, absolutely fan's favourite. You can see why. Obviously, no doubt he's going to be one knocking at the door for next season. He's absolutely brilliant, no, Matt?
Absolutely, yeah. Great character to work around, and he's always always making people laugh, always got a joke as well, but he always gives it his all on the pitch. He's one player that always comes off at the end of every game knowing that he's given 110%, and yeah, there's not much more you can say of him. He's a real, real grafter.
Obviously, on that front, we're going to talk about the games ahead. Bournemouth tomorrow at home. They're going to obviously bring a tremendous following, so hopefully we're prepared for that. But obviously on our front, fantastic run of form going into it, Matt.
Absolutely, yeah, we're in brilliant form. Obviously the most recent loss to Eastleigh seems sort of a distant memory now. We've been playing some fantastic football in recent weeks, and that's our correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's our only defeat of 2019 so far, and we're now going into March, which is Blimey. Phenomenal. So and the only one prior to that as well in recent times was Boxing Day, so we've really, really have picked up, and it is fantastic to see.
And this is an Eastleigh team that's pushing promotion at the moment and playoffs, aren't they? They're well up there.
We didn't deserve to lose, did we, anyway? So it was a draw.
Obviously, meanwhile, going back to Ball and Wood, I'm not sure about their recent form, but I had a quick look at the league table and they appear to be at the other end.
Yeah, dropping off quite bad at the moment. They're currently sitting in the bottom half of the table.
18th, yeah.
And that's on the playoff final defeat.
Yeah, against Tranmere last season. Just a strange turn of events. They started off all right. They was up there, sort of like the start of the season, in and around the playoff areas, weren't they?
And they beat us, obviously, 2-1 in the first fixture. Omar Bagil putting us 1-0 up, and then a scrappy goal on the stroke of half-time. Put it to 1-0, and then in the second half they brought two strikers on the pitch in Ugwu and Umera, and immediately with his first touch Ugwu scored. So yeah, they've hit some bad patch of form now, though.
Obviously, I mean, you look at their team sheet though, and there's quality players in there. There's names that you go, oh, okay, yeah, have him, or you would have done in the past. So it's really quite surprising to see where they are down there. Obviously, very surprising, especially for Luke Garrard as well, to find themselves down there. But nevertheless, that's going to be our opposition on Saturday. Crowd? Have we gone through the crowd? What are our predictions for the crowd?
We're doing how many rating?
Oh, hang on, insert soundbite.
How many rating?
Look. Palace away, that's always going to help us. Realistically, I think we're looking at a 1,200-1,300 crowd, I think.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
You've got to go actual numbers, you've got to nail it down.
Yeah, so I think 1,256.
Wow. I'm saying 1,389.
Oh, 1,256, 1,389. I'm going for 1,388. And 7. Oh, no, hang on, is he going? No, 1,308. That's my prediction.
What about away?
Four.
Two, three,
how
four,
many
four,
away?
Five,
no, they travel well. They've got their they'll have their away minibus, won't they? I mean, I'd expect 50, 60 of them, would you say?
Yeah, travelling. I mean, I think a few of them are Arsenal.
Obviously, last year,
West
I remember there was quite a lot of them. I think they were up there. They obviously made the playoffs, weren't they? They were right up there at the time. And I remember it being quite... There was definitely over 100 of them last year.
There was, definitely. They were in fantastic form, though, like you say, Jeff. And at the minute, they've lost five. Or, sorry, they haven't won in their last five. Their last win was actually on Boxing Day. So it's a side that's not in fantastic form. So you've got a question, obviously, whether that will put people off making the journey.
Obviously, ahead of... Wow, that's a lot of cheering out there. Oh, yeah. Obviously, What have we got going on there, mate? Is he Kent Schools?
Kent Schools FA Girls Cup Finals.
The only reason I say that is because I've just seen Neil Swiffle pass the window.
Yeah, he's here supporting them, which is absolutely fantastic. Ravensbourne, I believe, are entering it. They're not playing this game at the minute, but they're playing later on. So obviously Neil's down to support
fantastic.
The Bromley-related players that
absolutely
are playing
brilliant.
For Ravensbourne.
Obviously, ahead of the next podcast, we've got a game in between, haven't we? We're off to Harrogate on Tuesday.
We do, yeah.
Not the easiest journey. The team are heading up on the train on the day.
Yes, absolutely. It's a side that are doing really, really well this season. Harrogate currently occupying seventh place in the National League table on 56 points, as they're filling the last playoff spot at the minute. I think that the only way to describe the game that we had them in earlier this season was a completely one-sided affair.
The goalkeeper, wasn't it?
The goalkeeper is the best individual goalkeeping performance I've ever seen. And this guy, honestly, was just
and
like
you've seen
Superman.
A lot.
I have seen a lot. He was unbelievable. And, you know, we could have been 6-7-0 winners on that day.
Obviously, talking about away fixtures, Jamie Thomas, when's the next away... Ravens away travel.
Halifax, isn't it?
He sold out for Salford, but you've got Halifax coming up and he's looking at...
Oh, they've sold out for Salford.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I believe so. So obviously you can get in contact with Jamie on the social medias or you
is
can...
it at
666 Jamie Thomas.
Oh, I thought he had a Bromley away travel.
Oh, at away BFC, is it? I think it's away BFC.
Again,
yeah.
Fantastic pre-production research here from the Bromley.
Or actually, I'm prepared for this one. Obviously, we've got a home game tomorrow, so pop in and see Jim Brown in the club shop. And
yes,
he can
Jim
do your
has some posters up, obviously, to detail those. And obviously, Jim Brown in the club shop is going to be able to take those tickets. Like you said, Matt, Bournemouth at home tomorrow. Turnstiles open at 1:30, but the Ravens bars open early from midday. Who's playing?
Tottenham v Arsenal,
apparently, whoever they are. A big thank you to everybody who's tuned in, listened and downloaded this episode. Hopefully we'll see as many of you as possible tomorrow. Don't forget the tickets are online, available online, sorry, in advance. They're reduced prices, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. I believe those prices are on sale until... 1 o'clock, is it?
1 o'clock on the day.
1 o'clock on the day. And then obviously after that, they're available from the turnstiles at a slightly higher price. A big thank you again to Matt.
Thank you.
And to Cookie.
Thank you.
And to Jackie. Wow. And to Gareth. I'm sure Gareth's around somewhere. As ever, we'll be back in again next Thursday. And then we'll forget to record it on Thursday and probably do it on Friday. But again, a big thank you to Crown Ash Developments for sponsoring. And a big thank you to everybody who's listened. And we'll see you tomorrow. Just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.